Good morning, everyone. Today we will be going back to our archive. I'm actually on vacation, so we've pre-recorded this for you, but we wanted to go and get a deep dive into episode 23, which continues to kind of deal with some of the content that we were talking about the past couple weeks. About a year or more ago, we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit and the need for us to begin to work on our micros in such a way that it impacts and changes who we are and that we bear fruit by the Holy Spirit. So please join me as we continue our conversation by going back and taking a look at episode 23.
When we first started this show, we wanted to provide an outlet that would examine the signs of the times. And over the past several weeks, it is clear that now is a time to examine ourselves, or as I've said in the past, how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley. We both welcome you and greet you in the name of Yah to this morning's broadcast. So let's get ready with a pen and notebook. There's a plethora of things and good nuggets to take in today. But before we begin, I'd like to ask Rabbi if you would pray for us, sir.
Yes, sir. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we just manifest your obedience in submitting to you this day and allowing you to work your perfect work in us. And in me, we ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression. And we choose, we make the quality of the decision to forgive those, to include ourselves, for things that have caused sin, iniquity, or transgression against us. Father, I thank and praise you for glorifying your name in us. I thank you for giving us the ability and you allowing us to be able to stand in for our forefathers on both sides of our family tree. And to begin to alleviate any demonic ancestral transfers that would try to come down from either side. Father, we thank you for this day. This is your day that you desire to do great and mighty things. You desire to have new mercies being available to us so that we can excel in every aspect of what you are looking for. Father, we submit to you. We submit to your way. We submit to walking in the manner in which you desire for us to walk with you, not without you, but with you. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Pastor Andre.
Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and open up with our before Torah study blessing and then follow with our recap of last week's show so we can get moving into this week. So I'm going to go ahead and go to Pastor Doug for Torah study blessing.
Ruach Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kishanu BeMitzvotav Yitzchanu LaAsot BeDivrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the Universe, who sanctified us with His commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen and amen. Well, this week, I'm going to go ahead and recap where we left off last week. One of the things that we discussed as we've been going over the past couple of weeks, one of the things we have been discussing is the necessity for the fruit of the Spirit. Many of you may remember that we began this discussion talking about how in the latter days, there's going to be an intense campaign to wear out the saints. And one of the things we needed to understand, going back to our intro, is how we must respond to these things, how we must prepare for ourselves. And one of the things we discussed has been preparation through fasting and prayer. And also we discussed the necessity for the pursuit of the fruit of the Spirit. Last week we discussed that one of our first bullets here was a formula to understand the love aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. If you remember, about a week or two ago, we began to discuss the relationships, looked at a few relationships, one being Adam with the Father, and we looked at Abraham, we looked at Yeshua, and we looked at the Father and his relationship for us. Of course, we ended one of the broadcasts with John 3:16, showing God's love for us. One of the things that we need to look at, though, is how we ought to respond to him and how we ought to appropriate the love aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. One of the things that we have gone to as one of our key scriptures for this time has been 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, which states, essentially, I'm going to paraphrase this, but if you love me, you will keep my Torah, my commandments, my words. Now, the scripture itself says, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments. But when we ask the question from the perspective of the Father, do you love me? Then we have to ask, have our actions show that we love him? We looked at the word faith in the Greek and how it's different than Hebrew. In Hebrew, the essence is trust. And what we have to do is build trust. We have to go through building trust, which is an aspect of this love that we've been discussing. And the most important part of this formula is the Word of God. It's just like with seed time and harvest. The Word of God is like a seed. And basically, when God has created a seed, he has created the DNA of that seed to be specifically produce fruit that it was created for. And so if we have seeds that do not produce what they're intended for, we have to ask, did this come from the Father? If you look at the seed, it's like purpose. And the question is, how do we cultivate the seed? How do we cultivate what we're actually trying to plant? And we looked at two different aspects of the cultivation process. First, of course, fasting, as we've said many times over the past couple of weeks. It's like de-weeding. You have to de-weed and to let take out the things that are trying to choke the fruit. Okay, the this weeding process, as we gave the analogy, it helps to strengthen us to overcome our weaknesses. The other aspect of the cultivation is prayer and communion with God, and spending time with Him. It helps us to differentiate and catch early the bad seeds. Prayer helps us make sure there are no worms that will destroy our harvest. Now, there's another key ingredient, if you can look at it like a fertilizer, if you will, obedience. Obedience is a vital key. And obedience, going back to that first question about how do we show our love for Yah, this is it. It is our reciprocation to the blessings of God. And without it, we will not develop properly. But then there's another question. How do we get our seed to grow or to mature faster? Well, we went to Hebrews 11, verse 6, and we said, without faith, it is impossible to please Yah. But we have to look at the second part of this. And this was this point hit really hard last week. Yah is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In the cultivation of fruit, one of the most important things, of course, after obedience, is the diligent seeking and the faith. We looked at example in the scripture with Isaac. Isaac planted a harvest in perilous times because it said it was a famine. We went to Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 5. And in that difficult time, he was able to reap in abundance, 100-fold from his effort. The Father was saying to us through this story that he will multiply in the same year the efforts that are put in. Of course, there's that reciprocating response that's needed with the obedience and with faith. And we began to talk about Yom Teruah as we were entering into the feast. But we wanted to talk about the example of how Yah was able to bring forth that manifestation and how it was not just natural, but it was also spiritual. Now, going back to the Yom Teruah aspect, we have a small picture now of perilous times as we enter into and now find ourselves in the days of awe. The days of awe are the first 10 days of the seventh biblical month, starting with Yom Teruah, what people falsely call Rosh Hashanah. But Yom Teruah is the Feast of Trumpets leading up to Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Judgment. The Day of Atonement is the actual translation. But this is a time where we have to begin looking at ourselves spiritually for that 100-fold effort. Now, another point, and I'll go ahead and end the transition quickly here, but we wanted to talk about maintaining. Establishing the formula requires maintaining. Just like with the garden, we want a spiritual garden with a spiritual harvest. The seed of Yah will not bear the work of the flesh. Works of the flesh come from the wrong tree. Also, the fruit of the Spirit will not manifest if our relationship with the Father is not in order or pure. In the area where I am lacking, it is the same area where my spiritual fruit is lacking. James chapter 1, we read James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. lacking nothing means that when you say someone is lacking nothing or I shall not want, it's basically describing a whole, a person that is whole where there's nothing missing or broken, which is a definition of peace. But what's interesting is we also talked about that tree, the tree of life, where the leaves were for the restoration of the nations. But we discussed that the fruit is for wholeness. The fruit of the Spirit is to help make us whole where there is nothing missing or broken or lacking. So now the question is, how do we make sure that we, one, cultivate the right fruit and be restored, but also make sure that we are whole? The wholeness will not come until we fix the areas that have caused deficiency in the first place. There's a lot of work here. There's a lot of things we discussed, but Rabbi, this was an excellent conversation that we had last week, and I look forward to continuing this now. So I'll pass it back to you.
Amen, amen. And that was an excellent recap, too, as well. Just want to make sure that you were aware of that. Let's begin tackling that question that you said based upon the remembrance of what we discussed pertaining to the lepers, the 10 lepers. I don't have that scripture handy with me, but I just felt that the Holy Spirit was wanting us to go there. So if you could look that up while I'm sharing the backstory for most of us. The backstory, of course, is that there were 10 lepers on the journey that Yeshua, that Jesus and his disciples were going on. And they were crying out, of course, as lepers do, as a part of Torah, where they cry out to let everyone know, you know, that they're unclean. And but knowing that this was Yeshua, this was Jesus, this was the one who had the antidote. He was the one that could fix their problems, could allow the manifestation of God's anointing to happen. So not only did they, you know, cry out and say that they were unclean, obviously, but with the recognition of who they were in the presence of, they cried out even the more for him to heal them. Now, in that crying out, Yeshua gave compassion over them. Jesus was compassionate to them and proclaimed the anointing of healing. Now remember, we said healing reverts back to, when we're talking about this tree of life, healing reverts back to, okay, the leaves. It does not revert back to the fruit. Now, Pastor Andre, that is such a paradigm for some people because even though they know, you know, in Revelations it talks about that that the leaves were the healing of the nations, we seldom correlate or actually connect the two and realize that he's not talking about the fruit. The fruit is on the tree as well. But he was referring to, he being Yeshua in the book Revelation, was referring to the leaves only. So there's a diaposing concept here that we need to understand, and that's our dog in the background protecting the property. But there's that the fruit that we're talking about is for wholeness. Now, for some of you, you probably have never heard that concept in that manner. But we need to make sure, as we're going through and talking about the ingredients of the fruit of the Spirit, that we understand that. Now, Pastor Andre, do you have that that particular passage? And I'm sure there's a couple of different ones in the Gospels.
Yes. So I have Luke chapter 17, starting around verse 11 through 19.
Okay, if you could read that, and then we will pick it back up.
Sure. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that is Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he, when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. And with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
Now let's really begin to dissect this. Okay, there's so many truths here, but one of the truths that probably just really should jump out at us as we read it is that out of the 10, one was not a DNA Israeli. Okay, the other understood the importance. Not that the Samaritan did not. Okay, I want to make sure that that's clear. But the other ones knew that in order to be ceremonially clean, when I say ceremonially clean, that means there is an aspect or a according to Torah, in the manner in which you are officially, and I'll use that word, dubbed as being clean by the priest. And once that is done, then, you know, you don't have to fulfill all of the requirements as a leper. You got to be examined. You've got to make sure that, you know, there aren't any raised areas. And, of course, they're doing considering the texture. They're also considering the color. To make sure that you are officially, ceremonially, according to Torah, clean. That is an extremely important step. Now, the reason why I bring that out is because I'm very sure that the Samaritan understood the gist of the importance of that, or he would not have obeyed Yeshua by going to the priest. He would have immediately fell on his knees and gave thanks, okay? But in the process of going, the realization of the healing miracle happened. In the process of him being obedient, because remember we talked about the formula and the fact that they were being obedient. So in the process of them being obedient, he recognized, he was sensitive to the move of the Spirit in his life. We have to be sensitive to the move of the Spirit in our lives, as well as in the lives of others. During this particular time, this season that we're in, these perilous times, we have to be very sensitive to when the Spirit of God moves. I am reminded, I had a wonderful call from a pastor, friend, I consider him a dear friend, actually. And he had asked me to do a forward in a small pamphlet book that he had, which I did, and I was honored to do so. He was sharing with me a testimony on yesterday of a minister, a prophetess, who was reading his pamphlet. And in the process of reading his pamphlet, the Holy Spirit spoke to her about an ailment or an illness that one of her relatives had. And in that passage, it sparked the move of the Spirit. Please don't lose this. I want to make sure everyone gets this. This is so important. All right? From the pages of the pamphlet, a miracle manifestation an application, if you will, of the written word became transparent to the reader. The reader quickly, the prophetess quickly, did what the Holy Spirit had told her to do with the relative, and the relative was instantly healed. Now, how does that correlate with this particular passage? It correlates in this aspect. Just like the Samaritan was sensitive to the move of the Spirit, so was this prophetess who was reading this pamphlet. The words became life. But the words become life as we activate the obedience of what the Spirit of God says. Now, the Spirit doesn't move first. What moves first is the Word. First, the Word comes, or the seed in this case, going back to the tree analogy. Okay? Now, the prophetess wasn't the one that needed the healing. Her relative did. The prophetess was receiving and allowing to germinate the seed and to be able to move by the fruit of the Spirit in order for the gift of the Spirit to manifest. The gifts of the Spirit, because remember, the Spirit moves and flows by the fruit as well as by the gift. So the gift of the Spirit is for those who are not whole. The gifts of the Spirit, now this may shock some of you. And the reason why I say it may shock some of you, Pastor Andre, is because in Christendom, we're so taught to the point to where we are just kind of bent over to an exorbitant manner, more so towards the gifts than we are toward the fruit. And not knowing or understanding that Yeshua, and we've said this before on this broadcast, but it needs repeating, Yeshua never, ever had to use the gifts of the Spirit for himself. Okay? Remember, we talked about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. And the reason why was because he was focused on and was continually walking in wholeness or divine health. Okay? In the same manner as this prophetess, she was in wholeness. She didn't need the gift manifestation. She didn't need the leaf for the healing of her relative. Okay? So she was being obedient and walking in that obedience of the fruit of the Spirit so that the gift of the Spirit could manifest for her relative. Now, we need to understand that God's purpose and Yeshua's purpose is for us to walk in wholeness. In this analogy, pertaining to the leper, Yeshua was just beside himself. Why? Because a foreigner tapped into the wholeness over the other 9 DNA Israelites. So in other words, it was understood through the teaching that the Jews were supposed to begin to move into obedience to Torah for the sole purpose of true intimacy, true wholeness. And that's what shocked Yeshua. That's what shocked Jesus. Jesus was like, you know, this doesn't make any sense. But because of the Samaritan's gratefulness, because of his submission to the authority, because of his awareness that the Spirit of God just moved upon his life because of his thankfulness. Now remember, these analogies or these metaphors that I'm giving here, these are metaphors that point to the fruit of the Spirit. That, and I'm not saying that it's, that the healing is secondary or that it's not important. No, that's not what I'm implying at all. What I want to make sure you understand is that the healing is not the end goal. Remember, the goal is intimacy. The goal is relationship. The goal is completeness and wholeness. That's what Yeshua was trying to convey. The goal is the divine presence that we're supposed to be involved in. Not just the healing so we can go about our way and do our own thing in the name of Jesus. Or do what we think we should be doing for Jesus. Or based upon what we think that Jesus would have us do. This Samaritan went and began to understand, especially after Yeshua gave him the wholeness. Now that wholeness broke off, and we talked about this as well. That wholeness broke off whatever demonic activity had that was plaguing that individual that caused him to be leopard in the first place. Are you with me there, Pastor?
I am. I really am.
Okay. All right. So if you could convey what you're perceiving or sensing based upon what we've talked about so far before I begin to go a little bit deeper.
Absolutely. And you said very well earlier when you said that we especially Christendom or the church, has often missed the importance of the fruit of the Spirit. And I have to include myself in my thinking prior to us this discussion. I'm realizing now that when we're looking at the 10th leper that came back, who was a Samaritan, who was not supposed to get it, he got it because there was a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit even in his life, as you mentioned, the faithfulness, the gratefulness, and even his love, as you see him bowing down in worship, recognizing and submitting to Yeshua as authority. All of that helped and created the atmosphere, created the environment for his healing to manifest to wholeness. And it was because of that fruit of the Spirit in his life. And what I'm realizing, for myself even, is when, and I can look back and I can actually pinpoint now, I'm thinking through scenarios, the areas where I did better through trials or tests or even in receiving a manifestation of God was when I was walking more in the fruit of the Spirit. In different areas of my life where there was more wholeness or completeness, as you're saying. And it, as you just said, the last thing you said was the wholeness broke off the demonic activity that was keeping him bound. And I'm realizing how often we have, in many ways, belittled the fruit of the Spirit as a part of even our spiritual warfare. We've kind of just made it of, oh yeah, that's fruit of the Spirit. It's nice if you got it. And you know, people used to say, well, how do you get more through the Spirit? Well, you have to go through something. But we've belittled that aspect of the components for how we maintain our wholeness and how we truly get set free and have breakthrough. So that's what just hit me, was how wholeness is a vital aspect of us walking as Yah wanted us to walk and to have the breakthrough and the manifestation of healing and all of the above, all the things that we need from him. Wholeness is what helps us to cross the gap. Rabbi?
Amen. Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, we're going to go a little deeper. Still using the same analogy, the same story, the same parable. Oftentimes when we worship Yeshua, we worship him with an understanding that of what he has done for us. Okay, now what he has done for us, the question is what he has done for us something that provides wholeness or something that provides healing. In other words, the death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, was that primarily a healing component, or was that primarily a wholeness component? Pastor Andre?
Right. My first thought is it was to heal us, but also to make us whole. But the problem is we have to maintain it. That's where I'm going in my first thought. So he provided
right.
it for us, but do we keep it?
Right. And you're right. But the problem that we run into, because it is dual, it's both. But the problem that we run into is that we are so inundated with the desire to be healed, set free, and delivered, that we seldom fulfill the maintaining aspect of the wholeness component. Oftentimes we don't even achieve the wholeness. We don't achieve it because we're going from being healed, set free, and then falling. Healed, set free, and then falling. So our path, as if you were watching the individual that was walking on the path of righteousness, what you would see if you were to put pen or pencil to the actual manner in which they are traveling, it would kind of go left. It would waver, like a sine wave, because you'd go boom in the ditch, then get delivered in the ditch, then get delivered in the ditch, and then there wouldn't be this straight line of maintaining and not falling in the ditch. Now, understand this. I am not saying from the English translation of the word perfect that God demands perfection. Because if God demanded perfection, there would be no crucifixion, resurrection, and deliverance through Yeshua. He would have just started over. He would have just destroyed the old and started over with a brand new. Okay, and I want to make sure that everyone gets that. Okay? All right, we ended one of the broadcasts with John 3:16. And we have to understand God's love. Now, when I say understand, I'm not saying that we grasp it all, of course. But understand that that's the element that caused him to have his beloved son go to the cross in the first place. It was because he loved you and I so much that he didn't want to start over. So we've got to get that.
Wow.
Now, I know that's heavy. That's heavy. That's heavy. Is that not heavy, Pastor Andre?
That's heavy, because even in our mind, we're battling with this, are we worth it? But he's saying yes, because I didn't start over.
Exactly. I sure could have, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, my love for you was so great that I could not continue. Now get this, the God of the universe has created everything. Could not continue without us. Now, it was a choice. We know that he could. But, I mean, let's be honest. But he would not. That's probably a better aspect here. He would not continue because of his love. Because he so loved us, he gave of what was so important to him, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be healed. Now, he didn't stop there, because the healing was so that we could be whole, like the Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a concept that we are still having to understand so that we can actually not just walk in it, but live in it. There's a wholeness. There is a completeness. I'd like to say that without him, we are not complete. I mean, Paul says it very well. I believe it's in Philippians, or correction, in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2, he talks about the completeness. It says that we are complete in him. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 9 and 10. Try verse 9. Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. And why are we talking about this? We're talking about this because we want to understand how to not only achieve what the Samaritan was able to achieve, but also how to maintain it. Now, achieving what the Samaritan achieved, and that is going from healing to wholeness, because that's what we're talking about, the dynamic of going from healing to wholeness, okay?
Mm.
All right. From healing to divine health. Okay. All right. That's imperative. Now, we're still talking about the fruit of the Spirit. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to get off that until the Holy Spirit tells us we're done. But it's imperative that we understand this transitional aspect so that we can duplicate the same thing in our own life. You can go ahead and read Colossians chapter 2, verse 9.
All right. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then verse 10 is the one you're looking for here. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Okay. So in him who? That's a pronoun. In Yeshua. We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're not talking about the Father right here. We're not talking about the Father. We're saying in Yeshua, in Jesus Christ, is the fullness of the Father, or the whole Godhead. He's talking about the Word. He's talking about the Father God himself. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. So he says in Yeshua is all of this. So when the Samaritan, oh my goodness, this is exciting. When the Samaritan went from healing to wholeness, even though he didn't understand what he was doing. And see, that's why Yeshua was like, he was dumbfounded. He's like, wait a minute, this is a Samaritan. He doesn't understand what he just did, but he did it. So therefore, I must reward him with the wholeness. Because out of all of the 10, he would be the least expected to walk in a fulfillment of wholeness. But he didn't. Just by being thankful and honoring Yeshua and respecting that time, that space. Now, you know, you might want to say, well, wait a minute, Yeshua told him he was whole. Now, if he's whole, why would he fulfill the other obligation, okay, and go to the priest? I mean, that's a question. Because Yeshua gave him the wholeness. Well, Yeshua had the authority of Yah, and Yeshua was only saying what he heard Yah tell him.
That's good.
Okay? So that's why he was able to do that. So in your life, in my life, in our relationship, when we're asking for the healing and the manifestation of the Spirit of God moves, we need to not stop there. We need to continue in the relationship, in the thankfulness, in the fruit. Partake of the fruit, because that's what this Samaritan did. He didn't just get to leave for the healing. He was able to not only see, but to obtain the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is for wholeness. So we have a scenario here that helps give us an understanding. So then, Pastor Andre, my question then is, where in our relationship with Yeshua do we transition into this wholeness from this fruit?
Mm.
I mean, of the fruit, correction. All right. Where do we do that? Well, let's give the scenario. Let's say we need something. We go from a need or a desire of something.
Mm.
And it's always something that's missing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's always something that's not adequate enough. So we go from that, then as we are entering into his presence to receive that, then it should, keyword, transition, because we should, keyword, be sensitive enough to realize it just was manifested.
Mm.
Then we should go into a different aspect. It's as if you went in from praise to worship, or from worship to intimate worship. These are transitional points. We need to be sure in this time of the perilous times that we understand how to operate, how to flow, how to submit ourselves to, and how to just begin to navigate, not in and of ourselves, by ourselves, but we are just allowing the Holy Spirit to guide ourselves. Have you ever been in a situation, Pastor Andre, where you're seeking God for something, and God answers your prayer, and then unprompted, keyword, unprompted, unprompted, you begin to manifest a superlative of hallelujahs or glory or some type of word of exaltation and honor and praise from the deepest part of the inside of you. Mm. Has that ever happened to you before?
Yes, it has happened. And it wells up even sometimes through tears, and all you can say is thank you. You know, just even the depths of you realizes that this is deserving of worship.
Yes. And see, at that point, you stop everything else because nothing else matters.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, everything else in the world takes a back seat to what you're experiencing. Am I correct?
That's exactly right.
Now, you don't purposely put them in the back seat. But just out of allowing the Spirit of Yah, see, because the Spirit will take you to the fruit. If you and I allow it, it will take you on the journey to the fruit. And that fruit is the center of Yeshua. Because that's what that Samaritan did without realizing it. And as he did it, the Father gave him that wholeness. So as we're in worship, this transitional aspect is supposed to be happening. But if we're not taught that it happens, or if we're not sensitive to when it happens, because you don't have to be taught it. If you did, then the Samaritan would have been disqualified. Because he did something correctly that he was never taught to do. Do you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is something that has to be yielded to. You have to yield. You have to submit to. Because when it happens, when the supernatural begins to move upon you, then all you need to do is submit to yield, to allow the Spirit to have his way. Now, we say that in a very Christian concept, but it's an application. It's something that must be applied in order to transition from the leaves to the fruit. So whenever we run into a circumstance or a situation, the Father is waiting to see if we're going to just stay at the leaves,
mm-hmm.
or if we're going to go from the leaves to the fruit.
Wow.
That's our mandate. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? Remember in the scripture when Yeshua was talking to the Syrophoenician woman, and she was needing a healing for her daughter. And Yeshua said to her, he said that the food on the table is for the children. Okay? Literally what he was trying to get her to see, just like with this Samaritan man here, is that what she was asking for, okay, was what belongs to the children. Okay? And not only did she respectfully honor what he said, but she also made it very clear that the parable goes right back from that one to this one this scenario of the lepers.
Yep.
She made clear directly, whereas the Samaritan made clear indirectly that the DNA Israelis who should know this principle are not following this principle. That the miracle signs and wonders in order for you to walk in divine wholeness is falling off the table and onto the floor, and the dogs are taking advantage of it. And that's when Yeshua said, well said, and blessed her with her request. We need to understand and be sensitive to the Spirit so that we know not to allow the crumbs of the glory of God to fall off the table. Because those crumbs are the breakthrough that is necessary for you and I, not just for the healing, for the glory, for the necessary need that we have, but for the relationship that we must maintain. And she recognized that. In the same but different manner, in the way that the Samaritan recognized. Okay? So we've got to come to this understanding. We've got to make sure that, and we've got to get before Yah and ask him, in the name of Yeshua, to help us to not miss the new mercies that are laid up every day for us. And not forsake the fruit. That should be a daily prayer of ours. Help us, Yah, not to forsake the fruit of the Spirit. Pastor Andre, your thoughts.
You have me dumbfounded in many ways because I'm seeing the pattern almost with every situation that Yeshua was dealing with. A non-Israeli, they were able to access the fruit. They pulled at his heart. With the one example of a Jewish woman, the woman with the issue of blood, she like touched the tzitzit, which is like leaves, but she pulled at his heart to the point where she got her wholeness. You know, when we think about physical healing, emotional healing, economic, all the aspects of who she was healed in the moment. But I'm also reminded of the centurion. He was able to go quickly all the way to Yeshua's heart and received healing for his soldier. And one of the questions I have is, why is it that those from the nations were able to access this and get to his heart quicker, to access the fruit quicker? What is it that the DNA Israeli was missing that only had them basically stopping at the leaves, whereas they needed the fruit?
Got an answer for you. Got an answer for you.
Okay.
Yeah, not a problem. Got an answer for you. All right. What did John the Baptist, he's got the answer. What did John the Baptist say to the Pharisees and Sadducees? And I think one of the passages is in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, I think it's 7-8, is a good analogy. And you'll probably pick it up quite quickly right after that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and read that when you get there.
Sure.
And that's an excellent question. Excellent question.
Starting with verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance.
Yeah. Bring forth, therefore, what?
Fruits ready or meet for repentance.
In other words, what he's saying is you have gotten to a place of arrogance, of I am the child of the king. Therefore, I should, based upon my pedigree, I should be favored over you. Do you follow?
Yeah.
So because of the arrogance, because of the assumption that because of your worthiness, you've missed the fruit altogether. We've missed the fruit altogether. Therefore, we are placed in a situation where primarily the leaves are what we're having to find ourselves stuck in a spiritual rut of healing and then falling in the ditch. And then healing and then falling. Healing and then falling. Yeshua said, you know, those who consider themselves healed already. Right? Have no need of a physician. But the publican, the sinner, the one who recognizes and is very much aware of their inability and their unworthiness, they are the ones that, in doing so, have qualified not just for the healing, not just for the leaves, but they qualified for the fruit as well. We all need to make sure that we understand what Torah is about. Torah is about humbling ourselves before Almighty God. Yah gave us the Torah. He gave us the five books so that it will begin to deal with this pride arrogance thing. Because as we submit to Torah, as we begin to walk in Torah properly, then we walk more circumspect. Torah gives us perspective. And that perspective helps us to be qualified to receive the fruit. And we are out of time. Yeah. Pastor Andre, I'll pass it to you.
Wow. I wish we do have more time today. That was excellent, sir. Holy Spirit, we just thank you right now for showing up and speaking to us. So, audience, I hope that you all were able to, as well, take part in this rich meal, spiritual meal that we've been having this morning. There's so much more to discuss. And as you can tell, we've only really got to about a third of the fruit of the Spirit. So I pray that you will join us in the coming weeks as we continue this discussion of how we can strengthen ourselves, cultivate, and have the fruit of the Spirit. And one thing, Rabbi, you said this week that's very, or today, that's very apropos, very timely for the season we're in, is that bearing or showing fruits worthy of repentance from Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. And as we're in the days of all leading up to Yom Kippur, I'm right now reminded of the necessity for humility.
and desiring and pursuing the fruit of the Spirit, especially right now. So if this is your first time joining us, as you can see, we definitely get into some rich discussion here. I want to thank you for joining us today on These Be Perilous Times, and we're glad that you've decided to engage in Yah's Word and studying His Word. We encourage you to go back and study these things as Bereans to see if these things are true. And if they are true, apply them to your lives. That would be the first step, one of the first steps in wisdom. Of course, recognizing the fear of the Lord, but then applying His Word to your life. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter, we invite you and allow you to email us. If you simply desire to leave an encouraging word, you can email us at office@bethashem.org. That's BethHashem.org. Of course, you can find us at our website as well, the same address, BethHashem.org. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/BethHashem Ministries. If you'd like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith and the things we've discussed, we do have an online college, Zakkai University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. You can look at our course catalog at courses.bethashem.org. And if you'd like to contribute to this ministry, or as a congregate, pay your tithes and offering, both of those can be made to our ministry at Cash App. You can go to cashapp.com on your mobile device, cashapp.com/, and there's a $ followed by Beth Hashem, all lowercase, one word. Or you can mail an offering or donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And I want to give a thank you to all those who have contributed and sown into this ministry at this time. Now, before we continue, we'll go ahead and close this section and put a pause today on our Torah study with a blessing for after study of Torah. So I'll go ahead and go to Pastor Doug for our after Torah study blessing.
Baruch Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Natan Manu Toret Emet Vachaye Olam Nata Bikokenu. Baruch Ata Yehuah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, Arya, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. I'm going to go ahead and recite Runic Benediction, which is a blessing for our listeners and for your families, that may Yah's name be upon you. And this blessing comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 and 25. And we're going to recite this, and if you can, at your own homes, give a hearty amen to receive it. That would be a wonderful conclusion.
Yivarechecha Yehuah. Veishmerecha Yair Yehua panavelecha Vichunecha Yisa Yehua panavelecha Veyashem lecha Shalom.
May Yehua bless you and keep you. May Yehua cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahuwah will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yahushua. Amen. Rabbi, I pass it back to you.
Well, Father, right now, in the name of Yahushua, we thank and praise you and glorify you. We take the time to honor you. We take the time to submit to the authority that you have as well. We thank you for Yahushua. We thank you for not just the healing and setting us free in the redemption. But we also thank you for the wholeness, and we honor and submit to your authority. Holy Spirit, we submit to you and allow you to guide us, allow you to keep us, and to instruct us. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you gave of your Son. We thank you for what that means to you and what it's meaning to us each day. We bless your holy name and glorify your kingdom come so that your will today be done on earth through us in the same manner in which it is in heaven. And we thank you for the daily bread today, the morsel that we need today, the fruit of the Spirit that we need today. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.